Not a colonoscopy, but I'm having one tomorrow, so I won't be here, and we do our picks normally on Friday, but they're making me do mine today, so I thought I'd wait around till you called in and you could help me out.
Sure.
The one that we're stuck on here is Oklahoma and Notre Dame.
Easy, Oklahoma.
Easy?
Easy, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, I know Notre Dame doesn't have an offense, but that defense is pretty stout.
Pretty stout, but this is 79-4 at home. Bob Stoops, big game. Bob's back. They got their one loss out of the way with Kansas State. They learned a lesson there. Ever since then, they've been a different football team. Landry Jones has thrown for 880 yards since then. 8 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's been on fire. Plus, the vertical passing game is something that Notre Dame has to deal with. Against Miami, they got torched for long passes. If the receiver catches the football right off the bat at the beginning of the game, drops the football in 2 long touchdown receptions, it's a different ball game. I don't think Oklahoma does that at home.
Will it be close?
No. I think what's going to happen is Notre Dame will play hard. They'll test their mettle, but the key is their offense won't be able to score many points. And on special teams, I think the advantage goes to Oklahoma there also. You know, last week they had a kickoff return and a punt return for the first time ever in Oklahoma history in the same game for touchdowns. So, you know, they're riding a pretty good wave right now. And I think this is one of those games where Notre Dame's going to get down by about maybe 17 points, maybe 20 points. And then we're going to find out if they fight back or if they do the full, though.
Not so fast, my friend. Notre Dame University, home of magical players and magical times. And they're not playing at Notre Dame,
right?
Are they?
No Golden Dome in
No Golden Dome, no cheap calls. Oh, jeez. You know, Mark, only because you say so and our other picker is named Mark, there's got to be something in the air. I'm getting a colonoscopy tomorrow. 2 marks say Notre Dame. I mean,
no,
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
I'm going OU.
There you go.
What about the other 2 high-profile games? Obviously, Florida, Georgia, and I guess Texas Tech.
There's quite a few. You got Alabama, Mississippi State.
Oh, that's true. The 2 SEC matchups: Mississippi State, Alabama, and Florida, Georgia.
Well, you got to like Florida. The way that they played so far, Will Muschamp with this football team, they just outscore you in the fourth quarter and pound you and take your will away in the fourth quarter, and they've done it to everybody. And this game, I don't think it'll be any different. You look at Georgia, that's one of those teams that, you know, we thought much better than. We thought their defense would be a lot better. Even some of their own players are calling their defense out for being soft. You know, the running game has really gone away with those 2 rookie running backs, those 2 freshman running backs. So I like Florida in this game. They just seem to be getting better and better. And here's a team that puts up 44 points with less than 200 yards. They find ways to make it happen. They probably have one of the best special teams group in the country at creating plays, creating major plays, and changing field position. So I really like Florida in that game.
Mark, you know, it is so much the flavor of the day in college football. I can remember 3-4 weeks ago, you better watch out for Florida State. You better watch out for they fall. Then it becomes West Virginia and Dana Holgorsen.
Wow.
And of course, we're looking for a coach here at Arkansas, and you've seen what happened to them. And now on Arkansas radar, all of a sudden, Tommy Tuberville's name's popping up out of Texas Tech. And so they'll probably get beat this weekend. It is amazing. You look out at the landscape of college football, there's been one constant over the past 2 years. And you know what that is?
What's that?
Alabama.
That's true. They don't change. And you look at what Nick Saban's done, and I say it all the time. You know, if you want great football, if you're a young player and you want to get developed into a better player and a great player and have a chance to go to the NFL, you got to go to Alabama, because look at what he does with his players. If you're good enough to play as a freshman, you will play as a freshman at Alabama, and you'll contribute and you'll get an opportunity to start and play. And he's going to play the best players, and it's a competitive environment. It's like what Pete Carroll used to do at USC. You know, it's always a competition. Every week it's a competition. The best players are going to play on Saturday.
Mark, speaking of, real quick, since we've talked about the Arkansas coaching job, and speaking of Alabama, you know, Will Muschamp is a Nick Saban disciple. You've seen what he's done at Florida in 2 years. There's been some talk about Kirby Smart. You may have Tennessee's job open. You may have Auburn. You may have Kentucky and Arkansas.
You will have.
What about Kirby Smart? What's your thoughts on Kirby Smart?
I think he gets a job this year, but here's the key. Where do they go to find coaches? This is the SEC. You're going to get the best coaches. You're going to get the best paid coaches. Where do you go to get them? Do you go to the Big East? Do you go to Charlie Strong? He's the flavor of the week with Charlie Strong with Louisville. You know, they're going to get challenged this week. His name's been thrown out there a lot. You know, you have Butch Jones at Cincinnati. They lost last week. His name's been thrown out there a lot. So where do you go to find these coaches? You're going to have at least 3 or 4 jobs that are definitely going to open in the SEC. So you got to go out and you're going to try to find the best coaches that are out there. So, you know, it's going to be a competition. I know Tuberville's name always comes up, but his name always comes up. You know, every time there's a job opening, his name always comes up. You know, his agent's out there throwing it around. He was probably throwing it around all last year.
Last couple of weeks, they have, and the radio stations are in Fayetteville's backyard, they have talked about going out and getting consultants and this, that, and the other. And my point has always been, why are you going to pay $500,000 for a consultant when you can walk two blocks down the street and walk in the door of Frank Borrell's office and go, what do you think? This man hired Ken Hatfield, he hired Houston Nutt, he hired Lou Holtz, he hired Nolan Richardson, he hired Eddie Sutton. He knows a little bit about coaches.
He definitely does. And I'm not an advocate. I'm not one of those guys that I'm pro finding one of these firms. I hate that. I've said it on the air before. It really drives me nuts. If you're an athletic director, you've got to look that guy in the eye and say, this is my guy. You've got to tell your alumni, this is my guy. I'm stepping up. He's the guy that I'm going to go sail the ship down the river with, and we're going to win with this guy. You know, you can't go into one of those situations, and Jeff knows I've said this on the air because I said it about Steve Peterson at Pittsburgh. You can't go in there and hire this guy through the firm. Then you fire him 2 years later saying, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the search firm's fault.
Right.
No, that doesn't fly. That doesn't float the boat. You've got to go out and sell your alumni, this is the guy that I hired for our program to take us in this direction, and we're going with this guy. And everybody's got to rally around him.
But I'll finish up on this. I just don't understand why they just don't even stick their head in Frank's door and go, what do you think, Frank? Okay, we'll see you later. Bye.
Yeah, why not? He probably does. He's probably on the phone with him every once in a while and probably consults with him. But, you know, this is a situation where it's a different situation than any situation in college football. What's happened here in the situation they're going through with an interim coach with a great program that's in the best conference in the country, you've got to find that guy. And you've got to turn over every rock, every noodle, every cranny. You've got to find the right guy because you've got deep pockets. You can go out and get anybody. You can go to the NFL and get one of the best assistants. You can go to college conferences. You can say, that's the guy I want. I'm going to target him. You've got to do the same thing that Mel Moore did at Alabama. When everybody said, you can't get Nick Saban from Miami, guess what? He said, I'm going to keep trying until I get the guy. Flew to Miami, kept meeting with Nick, kept meeting with his agent. When they said they couldn't get him, he stuck to his guns and he found a way to get it.
How was the, you know, you mentioned the beginning of the year, Mark, your late nights with Lou Holtz. I noticed you guys have a new format where you sit in the chairs. You like that? Is that something Lou suggested? And you also mentioned about having the late Pac-12 nights.
That's a long day.
Yeah, it is a really long day. We call it the lounge where we go and we sit back and we take one game of the day and we break it down.
I like
just
that.
Kind of relax and look at it. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's been received really well, and you know we enjoy it. The Pac-12 games, they're late, guys.
It makes
a 14-hour day to a 17-hour day.
I love to watch the final verdict, but I'm 57 years old now, and I'm like, damn, I got to set the alarm so I can see these two argue at 2 o'clock
in
the morning.
Wait a minute. Now they've got a different format. Before we would do the show live, then it would be shown once on ESPN in the morning, once again in the afternoon, and then it would be put on ESPNU. Now they're showing it like 12 times after the show. They're showing it like, I think, four times on ESPN. It goes on ESPN2 a couple times, and it goes on ESPNU like four times.
Oh, really?
It's re-aired like, I think it's like 10 or 12 times over the next like 30 hours after the original show's done.
Hey, need to get your agent to get you some more money, Mark.
I've tried. It doesn't work. At ESPN, the more that you can do, the more they ask you to do.
Hey, the way we're paying him, you better shut up.
Hey, all the money you guys are paying, it's great. My daughters are happy.
Oh, good. You got your check. Good.
My daughters are happy. They're off my back.
Mark, I can't tell you what an absolute treat and honor it is to have you on the show.
Oh, I really enjoy it. I have a lot of fun. You guys make it easy and make it fun.
I got to ask you, you know, we went Rocktober on you this month. What is your favorite, and I know this is tough, your favorite song of all time? Basil went with Hound Dog. I went with Weekend in New England by Barry Manilow. And our producer went with Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. And I know it's a tough one because you probably got 10 or 15. But if you had to name one song that's your favorite song of all time.
Feel good. You knew that I would not. Little James Brown, baby.
Hey, pretty good singing there, Mark.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. We appreciate you calling.
Have a great weekend, Mark.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Talk to you later. I am behind this time. I